Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shatruj Anand and today I have with me a very special guest, Amit Shah, who is the head of India Equity Research at BNP Paribas. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Shah.
Well, thanks a lot, Shatruj. Thanks for having me.
Right, Mr. Shah, the first question I wanted to put it across to you that, it has been a 6 months of horror for mankind as the COVID-19 related cases continues to rise. But markets, sort of climbed all wall of worries, be it recession, economic slowdown, or earnings cut in the same period. So what is the sense that you're getting for the next 6 months? And do you think bears will dominate the second half?
We don't actually think the bears will dominate the second half. I think it's going to be a little bit of a push and pull. But we are more in the camp of you should be seeing a steady recovery from here on. But you will have that occasional, hiccup, be globally or be locally in nature. So that keeping aside, we don't really see a material downside coming in the market. I think what we have seen is the worst is kind of behind us. Mm-hmm. And what happens in an equity market, right? Usually there are 3 to 4 stages when an unknown kind of hits you. The first stage is always when, you don't really know what's happening, which was March for us. Nobody really knew what was going on and the market sold off because of a unknown that nobody could really quantify nor estimate in terms of, the impact. We got into a lockdown sometime in the last month of, the last week of May or March. From there on, the recovery began because the lockdown basically gave hope that, now we have making an attempt to stop this. And with the lockdown also came the fact that this would mean that things don't go out of hand in India. Because I think the biggest fear the market had, which drove the March sell-off, was that if this thing spreads in India, it could be uncontrollable. And the fact that our government was one of the earliest in the world to actually implement this kind of a lockdown gave a lot of comfort to the market. And from there on began your steady step of recovery, which is lasting even today, right? After that sharp sell-off, where we almost sold almost 50% at one point, from the high, and now we are starting the recovery. And in the last 3 months, we already made up 35% odd.
Yes.
Right? We already recovered 35%. Having said that, you're still 17% below, 15 to 17% below the highs that we saw in
all-time high.
So that is kind of digestible because now you are at the stage where, everything about the pandemic is well known. And now the market is looking at earnings, saying that now it's more fundamentals. And that's why it's kind of represented in the lack of market volatility also. You're no longer getting those 3-5% days up and down, which was, very common in March and even early part of April. Right? So you're not getting that because now the market's now looking at how soon can we get safe comfort on FY22. FY21 earnings is not really much of a concern now. I think you miss or hit a little bit here and there is not really going to matter. I think what's going to matter is how the market views FY22, and that will happen in the next couple of quarters. And that's why the next 6 months are important, because they are important because we want the commentary coming from the companies to be positive, to get views that, FY21 was a year that was, say, practically written off, but FY22 life kind of comes back to normal. And hence, we kind of believe that already we are seeing the grassroots happen, right? Petroleum demand is back to 85% of levels, which is usually a very, very early indicator that people are up and moving. Right, so that kind of translates into industrial recovery, economic recovery will flow. So hopefully, 2022 second half is of that stage, unless we get hit by a very bad second wave. Keeping current trajectory in place, I think second half should be more of a recovery.
Right. Well, that sounds great. In fact, everybody wants to, wants to go into the green. Definitely the most of the portfolios are in the red at this point in time, and they, most of the investors wanted to turn black as soon as possible. The other thing why I wanted to put across to you is that, you interact with a lot of institutional investors. So what is the view or the FII view on Indian markets that you're getting? They have been net sellers in the cash segment of Indian equity market so far in 2020. And they were net sellers in January, February, March and April. So what is the kind of trend that you see could pan out in the second half?
I think this is an interesting question, right? Kind of, we have to look at it two ways. One was that, long before COVID came, like say in January of 2020, right? FIIs had already sold sellers in India. right from the almost the third or fourth quarter of 2020 calendar, 2019 calendar year.
Yeah.
Right. So from that perspective, when we entered, and that was on potential expectations that India's economy is weakening and, you know, the fundamentals are not really in place, whether the government initiatives are not panning out. And then we got hit with COVID, right? So,
but
surprisingly, right, if you see at the FI numbers, they aren't too bad. Like, just in March, they sold almost $12 billion, right, in 1 month, which was the highest ever we have seen. And from there also, as you rightly said, they have been sellers. But May and June have resulted in a dramatic recovery to the point that year to date, now FI is only $2.8 billion seller, net sell.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So you have they have bought back a lot, and that kind of tells the confidence. And that's because of two reasons, not because it's India specific confidence per se. It's also the global markets have rallied, right? India still is actually one of the worst performing markets in Asia / ASEAN, ex of Indonesia. Right. So India is the whole world is doing well, hence India is doing well. But because we have our concerns which are slightly higher, we are doing slightly less. So the FI, which is what we meant, you know, hopefully getting a second half recovery where the FI kind of come to the market. If not individually in the cash segment, I think the deals will keep them active. Because as I said, you know, the May and June was not largely they buying in the cash market, but they participating in a lot of deals. Right, which kind of increases the FI inflows into the country. So they were not really going and investing how they did old school, but whenever they get a big chunk of a company coming at a discount, they are happy to participate.
That's right.
It kind of tells you they are a little bit of uncertainty regarding the market, and hence they are willing to participate in very specific companies which are available at the valuations that they want, but not the market as a whole. Because you know, the market as a whole hasn't really done much. Even this year, 75 or 80% of the Nifty's performance has come from the top 10 stocks.
Yes.
So that's again that issue that probably, you know, we'll have to deal with at some point, that how do we see the broader market recovery? And I think that's what probably should happen in the second half if commentary going forward turns out to be positive from a FY22 basis.
Right. And I think some bit of it has already started happening. So if you look back, in the last 6 months or so as well, so broader markets have done, you know, you could say relatively better than compared to, Sensex or Nifty. So, yeah, so there is some buying which is happening in broader markets, at least, you know, what data suggests. So, yes, hopefully the trend should continue in the second half as well. Now, if the last 6 months could be categorized as a, you know, roller coaster, then what would you call the next 6 months of 2020 in one word, and why?
In one word, kind of difficult to summarize, but as I have used the word already, I kind of stick with it. I think recovery.
Okay.
I think that's the one I would probably go with. It may not be a very sharp recovery as people expect. Like, it's not going to be one of those V-shaped recoveries that, you know, economists like to talk about. I think it's going to be a little bit of, as I said, a push and pull, but more towards the long part of things. That's more towards the recovery side of things. Because people are getting back into the workforce, economic activity is picking up, but having said that, today's market has run a little bit ahead of itself, right? Fundamentally, the market is trading at a premium to its historical average on a 1 year forward basis.
Okay.
On a 2 year forward basis, we are trading at a slight premium at around 16 times. We are at a slight premium, not too much, and that's kind of giving that comfort. So from that perspective, we are of the hope. We kind of see the market ranges around 9,600 to almost 11,100. That's more of an FY21 target, March FY21. So as we get closer, you know, you will probably go towards on the higher end if things begin to look more optimistic. But, you know, that kind of tells you that, you know, the worst is behind us, because we don't see really the market doing a lot worse than 9,500, 9,600 levels in case of a correction.
Well, right. Well, at least we have 11,000 by March 2021. That's the target coming for Nifty. Well, what would be the biggest worry or, you know, combination of factors for investors in the second half? I mean, biggest worry for you. It could be earnings, it could be COVID-19 or standoff, food oil prices, lockdown extension or any other factor.
So I think the big one would of course still be COVID, right? Because that's going to drive a lot of other things. Like you said, like it's going to drive earnings, hopefully it's actually even going to drive crude oil prices if that's the case, and it's also going to drive a lockdown. So COVID kind of, you know, it kind of encapsulates all the other real concerns. So, and that's actually the big one, because in the absence of that, we really go back to how life was, right?
Yes, yes.
I think the other factor that kind of worries me a little bit is the fact that India's inability to come up with a strong stimulus from a fiscal perspective, right? And that's what, that is the big difference between our market performance and the developed world, right? Where certain markets are already in the green now. Because they kind of, they had the opportunity to put money back in the hands of their citizens, so to speak. Right? We were not able to do that. And I think that is probably what is resulting in our market kind of underperforming. And that kind of, to me, remains a little bit of a worry in the long term, saying that India's so-called delicate fiscal situation, you know? And that, along with COVID, because they kind of go hand in hand, the big positive that I see is at least our FX reserves are at all-time high, right? At 500 odd billion plus, that's at all-time high. So that gives you some comfort that, you know, the rupee depreciation may not be very rapid. It will be more controlled and it will be in line with what the RBI thinks it should be, right? So that's kind of going to give you overall stability to the market, plus the recent state of inflows is, of course, going to help, right? And So that way, my short answer for that question would be, I think the second half would be still be dominated largely by COVID, followed by what impact does that have on rest of India's economic situation, because I don't think we can afford a big stimulus package, you know, without really disturbing a lot of other things around us.
Right. And the last question I want to put it to Costa is that, you know, where do you see money making opportunities, selectively, although it could be, will emerge in the rest of the year? It could be large cap, mid cap, small cap, or combination of any of these schemes.
I think it's going to be combination. I think, and it's also going to be very, very market specific, right? We kind of expect the market to correct a little bit from here, but not a lot, but that's just from a near-term perspective. And so it doesn't really apply to somebody, you know, looking at it from a long-term investment perspective. It's, you know, the correction won't be a big thing anyway. But having said that, you know, the large caps are the selective large caps. Like I said, you know, the top 10 stocks have contributed 75% to the Nifty performance. So those are where the opportunities don't really exist materially going forward. But I think it's the second leg of large cap stocks, or what we call in our, you know, at BNP, we call them quality laggards.
Okay.
You know, these are companies which have good companies, but either they have got impacted materially because of COVID, so they have a good franchise, but because they are so directly impacted by COVID situation that they have taken a hit. But they have the fundamentals and they have the balance sheet to pull this through. So they are the ones who actually take the biggest earning hit, but they come out better when things open up. Right?
Okay.
So those companies where you have positive free cash flow, you are seeing a higher dividend yield also in the mid-cap space, right? I think as the market kind of rally, and what you have seen, as you rightly said, in the last week or 2 weeks, that the broad-based market recovery had picking up, where the mid-caps you saw were outperforming the Nifty on a very daily basis.
Yes.
Right? So those are, I think that's where the opportunity also still lies. I don't think we are still there to pick small caps. Like, you'll always have that quality small cap company, but keeping those aside, you know, the broad based recovery in small caps, we still think is going to be driven as we get closer to a full fledged recovery, because there are still good quality large cap stocks available at a material discount to their historical valuations, right? So the initial round of the money, both from a domestic and foreign investor perspective, will go to those places. And the big benefit surrounding all of this is that globally, money is free, right? So that has emerging markets a lot. And that hopefully should be one of India's biggest positives when we actually recover at par with how the rest of ASEAN and Asia has recovered. We are still, of a size of the economy that we are still the worst impacted, right? At least from and at least the fear of opening up is the highest in India because of the density of population.
Yes.
So once that fear kind of reduces a little bit, I think India will play catch-up. And that is when the fact that money is available, liquidity is so ample in the world, will actually find its way somewhere in India.
That's right. Well, money-making opportunities available in select large caps and mid caps. At this point in time, selective small caps are also there, but refrain from investing in those. That's the message coming from Mr. Shah. Well, thank you, Mr. Shah, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, thanks a lot, Chris. Thank you very much.